Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Allison, and today I have an exciting episode to share with you. This week, I spoke with Lynn Olson about her newest book, Empress of the Nile, the daredevil archaeologist who saved Egypt's ancient temples from destruction. This is the fascinating story of the feisty French archaeologist who led the international effort to save ancient Egyptian temples from the floodwaters of the Aswan Dam, and it has an unexpected Jackie Kennedy crossover. Lynn Olson is a New York Times bestselling author of 9 books of history, most of which focus on World War II. Former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright has called her our era's foremost chronicler of World War II politics and diplomacy. Without further ado, here is my interview with Lynn Olson. Here I am joined by bestselling author Lynn Olson to talk about her newest book, Empress of the Nile, the daredevil woman archaeologist who saved Egypt's ancient temples from extinction. Lynn, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to talk about this. But before we get started, can you please let the audience know a little bit about yourself?
I started my career as a journalist. I worked for the Associated Press and for the Baltimore Sun for about 10 years. And then I got tired of daily journalism and decided to go into longer form writing. I was a freelance writer, mostly for magazines for a number of years. And then I started writing books and have been doing that really for almost 30 years. I now have written 9 books. They're all history, nonfiction history. Most of them deal with World War II, although my latest book that we're going to talk about, although it has something to do with World War II, is really more about Egypt and ancient Egypt and modern Egypt.
Absolutely. It's so fascinating. This is truly such an intriguing story. How did your personal interest in Christiane, is it De Roche? That's how I've been reading it.
It's a mouthful. It's Christiane de Roche Noblecourt. Noblecourt was her husband's name. And unusually for the time she lived in, you know, she got married in the early 1940s. She actually hyphenated both her maiden name and her married name, which makes, as I said, is really quite a mouthful.
Yeah, it's quite the name. How did your interest in her originally come to be?
I wasn't interested in doing her at all in the beginning. I was looking around for a subject for my new book, And because I had written so much about World War II and also the French Resistance, my previous book had been about a major heroine in the French Resistance. And so I was kind of looking around, you know, for possibly another woman from the French Resistance. And I found her. She was in the French Resistance in during the war. She was actually the acting curator of Egyptian antiquities at the Louvre. So she would work in the Louvre during the week and then resist the Germans on the weekends and at night. But the more I read about her, the more I thought, oh, I'm not going to do anything, you know, broader about the resistance. I think I'll just focus on her because her life was so fascinating, not only during the war, but particularly after the war, when she really got involved in ancient Egypt. I decided, okay, I'm going to switch my focus a little bit here and, yeah, write about the war a little bit, but then also go into what she did after the war to save these temples from being destroyed.
Yeah, and she's such a trailblazer. And that led you to kind of coin her as a female Indiana Jones. So what made you, you know, give her that name?
Well, she was very much like the movie character. She she loved adventure. She loved danger. She wouldn't let anybody, especially men, tell her what to do. You know, she was really out there all the time, right from the beginning, you know, right from her childhood. She grew up in Paris shortly after she was born in 1913, grew up in Paris at a time when young women of her social status, which was quite high, were expected to just be wives and mothers, for the rest of her lives. And she was raised by some very forward-thinking parents who basically told her right from the beginning that she could do whatever she wanted to do. And she took that seriously. And she became enamored of ancient Egypt early on. You know, when she was 9 years old, there was this amazing archaeological discovery. This was in 1922, of King Tut's tomb, Tutankhamun's tomb. And that was a worldwide sensation. And Christiane loved the story. She was just fascinated by the finding of this tomb and what it all meant. What were, you know, all these treasures that were found in Tut's tomb, what did they mean? Why were they there? And so that really started her on her path to becoming an Egyptologist, which was at the time, really until the mid-20th century, was only a man's club. I mean, you know, basically only men were part of that club. Women were not, were shunned from it. And she persisted. She was incredibly smart. She was actually brilliant. She was at the top of her class all the time. And she just refused to let them stop her. They tried very hard to do that, but she refused to let them do it.
So great. And one of the things, like you just shared, it's so interesting about her and Jackie Kennedy is how they broke through these barriers and kind of just shattered that box that women were so put in at that time. I've discussed Jackie in this way before in many ways, but what is your personal favorite way that you learned that Christiane did that in her way, breaking through those barriers?
Well, I don't know if there was one event where she did it. I suppose one of the most interesting things I remember about her is that when she was in her early 20s, she got this prestigious position as a fellow in Cairo at France's, it's called the Institute for Oriental Archaeology, and it's the premier research center for ancient Egypt. And only a few fellows were named every year. It was a plum job for a young archaeologist interested in Egypt. And she was the first woman to be appointed. And when she arrived there, all the men who were her fellows there rose up in revolt. They asked the director to kick her out. They said they could not come to breakfast in their pajamas anymore. You know, they didn't want her anywhere. They wouldn't refuse to have anything to do with her. You know, and that just floored her. She couldn't believe that they would react that way. But in fact, that is the way that most of her male colleagues treated her for much of the rest of the time, you know, much of the rest of her life. But she was just absolutely determined to prove herself. You know, in her first dig, which occurred right after that in Egypt, she made this amazing discovery of an unplundered tomb, which was really unusual. You know, that's why the discovery of King Tut's tomb was so incredible, because it was the first pharaoh's tomb that had been founded that had not been robbed. And she made a similar discovery. So, you know, right from the beginning, she made it clear that she was to be taken seriously.
That's fantastic. Can you tell the audience a bit about how Jackie saved some Egyptian artifacts as well?
Absolutely. I mean, this was, you know, obviously, you know, when I started writing this book, I knew much about Christiane. I had absolutely no idea that Jackie Kennedy was involved in the saving of these temples. That Christiane led basically a crusade to save these temples in the late 1950s, early 1960s. They were about to be destroyed by the construction of a huge new dam in Egypt. And once that dam was constructed, the floodwaters from that dam were going to swallow up some of the most priceless temples in the country. And so, I mean, obviously that was a big story back then. And I knew about Christiane's role in that. I had no idea Jackie Kennedy was involved until I started doing my research. And in fact, it turned out to be true. I mean, there were only two women who were major players in this extraordinary archaeological rescue. And that was Jackie Kennedy and Christiane de Roche-Nobelcourt.
Mm, wow.
And, you know, the fact that Christiane was involved, is pretty understandable. You know, she's an Egyptologist. She worked in ancient Egypt. But Jackie Kennedy, I mean, you know, how did that happen? So I was just thrilled to find that out. And, you know, so I, you know, found out more about her and how she actually came to be involved.
Yeah. Why do you think the roles of these two amazing women in saving Egyptian artifacts is so little known? And also, why did they not know about the contributions the other had made?
Yeah, it's a great, great question. It's little known because neither of them was seeking credit, you know, which is true of a lot of women. You know, women who do extraordinary things often don't get credit because they didn't, you know, try to get it, unlike a lot of men. And that was true in both cases. Jackie Kennedy got involved because, well, first of all, she found out about what was going on in Egypt. She found out about this campaign to save the temples, and she was fascinated by it. And it, as it turned out, you know, her husband had just been elected president. This is in 1960. So this was really in 1961 that she became involved in this. Before John Kennedy was elected president, the U.S. administration wanted nothing to do with helping to save these temples. Back then, the administration was very anti-Egypt and very anti-Gamal Nasser, who was the president of Egypt. Nasser was a nationalist. He refused to enter into alliances with the United States or any other Western country. And for the Eisenhower administration, they equated that with communism. So they figured Nasser was a communist because he wouldn't cooperate with the U.S. And so, you know, when these temples were under siege, in danger, the government refused to have anything to do with the attempts to save the temples. And in order for the temples to be saved, the Americans had to get involved. U.S. was the only country with enough money to make a major difference in saving the temples. So you have the Eisenhower administration saying no, and then you have John Kennedy being elected. The first year she was first lady, Jackie Kennedy thought it was important for the U.S. to have a role in this. And she basically prevailed on her husband to think about, you know, asking Congress to authorize the money to make sure that temples were in fact rescued. And that's what he did. But she did this all behind the scenes. She absolutely refused to take any credit for it all. She was doing, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting. She was lobbying Congress. She was talking to other administration officials, but she wanted no publicity attached to what she was doing at all. So as a result, almost nobody knows the really crucial role she played in this amazing archaeological rescue. And Christiane was the same. She was, of course, much more out there. She was leading the charge and was involved all the way through, but she never sought credit either. So, you know, when the temples were finally rescued, there were a number of men, a number of other organizations involved. They were the ones that took the credit and gave none to Christiane, which really didn't bother her.
Wow. Yeah.
So as a result, these two women, they only met once in 1973. So well after, and, you know, Jackie then was married to Aristotle Onassis. The temples had been saved. So they met once in Egypt. And as far as I can tell, or anybody can tell, neither of them had any idea of the role the other had played. It's just extraordinary.
It is.
It is. I mean, really, it's mind-blowing, that's true.
Wow, it's so incredible. I do think it's interesting that they did end up crossing paths, too. Do you mind to tell a little bit about that story of her actually being their personal tour guide for Jackie, Aristotle, Onassis, Caroline, and John Jr. while they vacationed in Egypt?
That's right, yeah. This was in 1973, and Christiane was... at that point, I think it was the early spring of 73, and she was involved, very heavily involved in a dig that was going on in Egypt. And she got a call from the French government saying that Jackie Onassis and her husband and children and another people wanted to go on a dig, wanted to see a dig. And they asked if Christiane would host this party. And she really wasn't happy because she was nearing the end of the time that they had to, that they were there, and she had a lot of work to do. But she agreed. And so she met up with Jackie. And then during that meeting, she met Onassis, who was incredibly rude to her. And one thing Christiane refused to put up with is rudeness on the part of men, as she demonstrated over and over in her life. And so she the two of them basically had at it. And during that meeting, and she thought that, okay, he's not going to show up the next day, or maybe none of them are going to show up. But in fact, they did at her dig. She took them all over the dig, you know, thinking, you know, I'm not going to have anything much to do with them. I can't stand this man. And he turned out to be, he apologized for what he had done the day before. And he turned out to be, in her mind, a really interesting man who was very interested in what was going on, you know, at the dig. So, I mean, the funny thing and kind of the sad thing is that she basically focused on him during this long time that they were together, rather than Jackie, because Jackie was quiet as she normally was, and really didn't, you know, stop. Onassis was a larger than life figure, and so was Christiane. So I think that's that they gravitated toward each other. The Onassises loved her; she really liked them, and so when she was in Paris next, Jackie and Ari Onassis invited her to dinner, invited Christiane and her husband to dinner. And they had dinner. And in fact, Ari asked Christiane and her husband, to come and stay with him and Jackie the following summer at his island, his Greek island. But unfortunately, he died a few months later, and that never happened. I just wished that Christiane had taken more time to talk to Jackie, because Jackie was in her own way as passionate about ancient Egypt and preservation as Christiane. And so I think they would have had a wonderful time getting to know each other, but that never happened, unfortunately.
It is pretty crazy, though, that they still, you know, almost were brought together by fate in some way or another after they had, you know, advocated for, you know, saving all of this for so long. I think it's such an inspiring story. It really is. And this book is incredible. You have done an amazing job. Everyone, go to the link in the description of this episode, purchase Empress of the Nile. You will not regret it. It is fantastic. Lynn, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, thank you, Allison. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss when a new episode is available. Also, if you like the podcast, please rate it 5 stars and write a positive written review on Apple Podcasts. It helps the show so much. I've been sharing a lot of news lately, so make sure that you are following me on Instagram at Kennedy Dynasty or on Facebook, Kennedy Dynasty there. That's all I've got, and I'll talk to you next week.
Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. Keep America strong.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hastie, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.